In this week, on the 19th of October, 1996, Super Dons moved level with Arsenal at the top of the league after a 4-2 victory over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. May I say, one of many victories over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. We are the same old Wombles. We're back. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to So Wombles. I'm Matt Cooper, and today I'm joined by mon frère Niall Cooper and Adam Proctor. What you don't realise every time we start these podcasts is that Adam always cracks open a beer, and it feels like it seems like a different one each time. Adam, can you tell me what are you on today? What are you drinking?
Well, I've changed things up a bit because I normally have some weird craft beers, but today, because there was a deal on at Tesco's, I have got we're not sponsored by Henry Weston, but Henry Weston Cloudy Vintage Cider.
There
So,
you are, people. And this is basically because you live in the West Country, isn't it? That's why you're drinking cider.
yeah, no, it's because it's a little bit more refreshing than a Jamaican Red Stripe. That is also
It's
in the
because you
fridge.
live in the West Country. It's fine. Anyhow, this week we'll talk
Don't
Notts
know how
County.
Southampton is west, by the way. It's literally in the middle of South.
Look,
It's so West Country.
basically, Adam, you have to work out the geography of this world, right? Everything north of the Thames is the north. So, like everything like Barnet could be Newcastle, same thing. Anything
Exactly.
sort of south and not really east. It's basically the West Country. So you could be Southampton, you could be Yeovil, you could be, I don't know,
Heathrow.
Port Isaac, Heathrow, right? That's basically the West Country. Ealing.
Heathrow West Country. Thames, North.
That's
East,
basically it.
we don't know, to be honest with you.
South, maybe France.
But that's one of the things we did get asked on X was by a group, what are they called? Let me just check it and tell you. A group called, oh, where has it gone? I can't use X.
Whilst Adam looks for this, I'm just going to tell you what we're doing today. So today we'll chat through the Notts County game. Niall's going to give us he was an in-person experience. We're gonna flipping the FA Cup. What a nightmare. We got some DDB election dates, just to give you a bit of an update on that. And then we've got some Q&As that people have actually been contacting us. God knows how, because we try and keep our communications to a minimum, really. We try and keep ourselves secretive. Hence our
So the latest comms, which I can, to us, which is excellent, was it's the South SWSG dash Southern Wombles supporter group, and it is calling all Wombles based in the southeast, which is technically where I am, south west stroke west of England. So they were wondering where we hail from. So I didn't
Yeovil,
reply to them, but yeah, I am currently in
West Country.
Southampton.
Exactly, the West Country. Cool. Okie dokie. Well, that's what we'll go through. Notts County, put them in FA Cup, do some Q&As. We've got, like I say, and then the DTB elections. And I just want to have a little reflection on the Ardy interview I listened on the official podcast. I know what we are, but that apparently there's an official podcast, which we're not. I don't know how it works these days with the podcast. Anyhow, Niall Cooper, you made the trip to Nottingham and were sat in the Notts County. And I'm trying, we all try this thing where I pretend not to be pissed off. It did help that I was doing something on Sunday, so I couldn't think about it too much. I'm trying not to get, and obviously we've got a game tomorrow, so I'm trying to look forwards. But Nye, what was the experience like?
I mean, like, let's just start with the off the pitch stuff because that's where we're at normally. And my God, if we ever question, not that we ever would, the quality of our provision at Plough Lane,
Oh.
right? Go
You
to
like
Notts
this, Adam?
County. I don't, and there is, and I've done it, I've posted it's on my Facebook. So not, if you wanted to have a look on Facebook, worry, that's what it is. It is the burger from Notts County. which it is. Basically, I would describe it as a Tesco value BAP cut in half, and a those kind of really cheap burgers that you kind of would throw on a burger maybe like 20 years ago, that like a rubbish, and that was it. And that was £5. That was is.
£5 for an Iceland burger in an Iceland BAP thing.
I'm saying Tesco value BAP, to be
Yeah.
fair.
Oh.
No sauce, no lettuce, no onions, no nothing. No cheese. That was it. £5. Unbelievably shocking. So, like, you know, I'm sure whatever you could get at Plough Lane for a fiver, and there's planned to be bound to be something. I know it's not cheap, but cheap as that. But like, that was shocking. So that was appalling. I mean, the stewards are fairly friendly, right? But the big thing, I think, is when I arrived, the great Pete Leng, who of Wish fame, by the way, said a big hello. So it was quite nice. And I sat down, and then sitting next to me was John Green. So, who
Yes.
like was pretty cool and has promised to come on this podcast. So I'm waiting for him to come back to me, but he said he would do. So that was really cool. I was with my daughter Amelia, who's like, who's this geezer just chatting away to you and all the rest of it, like, you know, not knowing anything like that. She was sitting between us. And basically, when I said who John Green was, like whispered in her ear, and that was it. She couldn't talk to him again. That was it. She's like, I've read a
She
couple
got
of your books.
starstruck.
She got a little bit starstruck with John Green.
Oh,
She's like, I've read some of his books. I know his stuff. And like, you know, that was a bit too much for her to kind of go, because she was going like, you sponsor the club shorts. Really? Why did you do that? And all the rest of it. And like, she still had no idea who he was until I kind of whispered in the ears and whatever. So that was pretty cool. And John Green was, you know, pretty, you know, nice,
and
good bloke.
just on this level, that's where we're at, listener. We are mixing with John Green. I mean, you've sent him a direct mail. I'm sure he's getting around to it. He's compiling, because he's an author, he's compiling a decent response to us. It's not like we're never going to hear from him, yeah?
Definitely not. I think we definitely will hear from him,
Yeah.
probably when we run into him again some other place. Anyway,
Yeah.
but that wasn't the big thing. Yes, I'm sitting next to John Green, pretty significant. But the other thing was I was sitting next to two people, both of whom said they listened regularly to the same old Wombles podcast. So
What the hell?
our whole thing about the listener is now ruined, because there were two of them. I think one
No.
of them might have just only listened to us a couple of times. But the other one claimed, and I'm sorry to the other podcasts, that we were the best podcast that he listens to. And he didn't know
Because he
who I
only
was.
listens to one.
So he didn't listen, didn't, you know, it was kind of like, and then he was going, oh, you're Niall from the podcast. And I said, you know, yes, I am Niall from the podcast. And that was quite significant. He did obviously, you know, realize that Matt was like the kind of the main man, Adam, which is obviously upsetting for me and you, but like, you know, that's where it was. So, you know, it was quite cool going like, we talk about proper things and stuff like that.
Do we? Do we do? We do. That's what
We
we're
talk about
famous for.
things like other things.
I need someone to come up to me and say, you're Adam from the podcast. Seriously, like next game, anyone sees me, they have to know what I
Mean,
look
I'm saying
like.
that they didn't know. They look, he was chatting to me for ages, and then he kind of like, you know, got around to eventually mentioning my name or whatever. And then he, all like the same one, I can't remember, but it was like, wow, that was it. That was a bit quite nice. So I like that. I have to say, on a
So hang on. So at the not,
tiny
so at
wee bit of
the,
an ego thing.
I was just saying, so at the game, basically there was a level of, yeah, exactly. I was going to say that there was kind of like there's a level of celebrityism that's happening just on the
I
row
don't
that you're
know. It was
sat
awesome.
on.
Except right on the John Green bit, and this is the crazy shit, which also blew Amelia's mind. Amelia's my daughter, was on John Green's bedside table is my book. My book. I was like,
Oh, Cooper.
unbelievable. So like, so you're saying this, like, that's what you listen to. He said it's like, you know, it's great, kind of like whatever. It was very, I was a bit blown away, a little bit blown
Yeah.
away by that.
I think.
Amelia was like, by this point, Amelia's like completely lost faith in all her father and everything like that. And I'm like, this anyway. I suspect though, Matt, when you began this conversation, you actually want me to talk about the game.
No,
Is that what you
this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. The celeb bit. This is the most exciting part. I mean, obviously he mentioned the play, yeah?
Yeah,
The play,
obviously, you know all it.
he mentioned the He
He,
mentioned the
they said
play, didn't
arguably the greatest player I've ever heard of or known about ever
he? Yeah.
was the Matt Cooper play, a
Yeah.
fans club,
That's
which
right.
is available on nowhere in particular, is it at the moment, Matt?
No, it's not. No.
Can't see it.
You
But
had to
you
be
can get the
there.
music. Can you get the music still? You can get the
I think the
music.
music's somewhere, yeah, but you had to be there, and he wasn't. Anyhow,
But if you wanted to
that's
donate to the Matt Cooper Put It On Again fund, then there is probably a Matt Cooper Put
mate,
It On Again fund. If you
I've
haven't
rinsed
started that
enough
yet.
people for this. It's over. so
That's
anyhow,
a
not
fans club. Fans club returns.
the one thing I was going to say, so for our now numerous listeners, the decision for the podcast image is going to either be Niall with John Green or the horrendous picture of the burger that I still cannot get over.
Oh, so bad. I think you've got to mix it
Did I
up.
post
You've
a
got to mix
picture?
those two
I posted
things.
it on the WhatsApp. Anyway, whatever. That burger is like just shocking. Anyways, to the game itself,
Yes.
right? Honestly, we could have won that several times over.
Oh,
We first half we were
so upset.
by far the better team. Defense was really solid, and the bit that ruined it was Harbottle got injured and went off, and we had to reshape the defense, which meant Johnson came on. We shifted like who was playing left centre back, who was playing right centre back, who was whatever. They were just a little bit disjointed for that 10 minutes or so, and then Notts County got a like really scrappy goal because we were just a bit disjointed just for a bit. We were so solid up until that point. I mean, it was just like, yeah, whatever, you can do whatever you want. We're just going to get a ball and do stuff. And Tilly and Nerfville, particularly Tilly, were just having a field day. They were basically having a laugh down either flank. I mean, they were just totally dominating. We were creating lots and lots of chances. We just weren't putting enough power or force into it. It's just like one of those days where, you know, we really, really, really should have scored quite a couple of times. And look, I am actually a fan of Josh Kelly, right? I like Josh Kelly as a player. I think he's one of these people that, you know, and just to paraphrase for those who've listened to this podcast for a long time, he's a confidence player.
We love them. They're our favourites. If there's nothing we
He's a
like more than it's confidence players in our team.
confidence player. And clearly, his confidence must be a little bit shot because what happened right towards, well, I don't know, 10 minutes before the end of the game, 10, 15 minutes, whatever, that their player thought, right, Wimbledon have like, obviously, you've had lots of near chances and you haven't quite scored them. So we'll help you a little bit here in your hour of need. And I'll just pass it to Josh Kelly. I'll be maybe 5, 10 yards away. My mate will be another 5, 10 yards away from Josh Kelly. So you're kind of just like, I don't know, middle of the goal with the ball at your feet on the edge of the penalty area.
Oh.
The goalie's maybe 5, 10 yards away from you. Kind of like centre forward practice, really. You know, just a bit of centre forward practice. You know, now kind of have a run and run, maybe one on one, like just try it. But instead of the normal, like a little bit of pressure, we'll give you no pressure at all whatsoever and plenty of time. And Josh Kelly thought, hold on, I know what this is. This is practicing with passing back to the goalkeeper just to see if they can do that. You know, I might at one point being, you know, whatever. And maybe he thought I might get an indirect free kicks. We scored from one of those the other day and then realised, oh, hold on, I'm an attacker. That's not an indirect free kick. That's just a giving the ball away back to their player for no
Oh.
reason whatsoever. It was absolutely shocking.
Oh, I'm
You know,
so
it's just like,
it's going for him. And I think, listen, there was a lot, I think there was still a lot of pressure on him because he was brought in really as a replacement for Al Hamady. And in those first, I remember the first few games that he played, he got himself into some great positions and just wasn't able to put the ball away. It wasn't really until the end of the season when sort of like it was over. That maybe he has a problem with that. It's that pressure is a thing, and
honestly, I
it's just a
mean,
shame because I think we all want him to do really well, but
that was honestly,
how long do you give someone, to be honest?
it was just unbelievable. I mean, and there were other chances that were falling to, you know, slightly the wrong player. You go, if
Yeah.
Higgs had been in that place, he would have scored. It's like, you know, if Omar had been in the mid, whatever, there were plenty of opportunities and plenty of chances. I mean, Notts County are not a bad team, right? The thing is, we were playing well. We were playing, you know, really quite good. And this is a team, you know, and then the defense got messed around. So, like, had we had There's no doubt in my mind, had we had Reeves and short shorts in the team, we would have won the game. Right. I mean, there wasn't much in it, but it's like just that little bit of solidity at the back, which just would have ruled it out. And Reeves, I mean, the midfield was good, was all right. Reeves in the middle of that park as well, it would have just made the difference.
Is there any news on Harbottle though? Because we're clearly again struggling with injuries a little bit, even though we felt the squad depth got better. Is Harbottle like bad or?
I'm not sure about Harbottle, Adam, but I'm wait. I guess we wait until tomorrow because I think that's when JJ will do his thing. We're recording this on a Monday evening, but my understanding is that, oh, well, obviously Johnson's back, and Lewis is going to be in contention next on the Saturday, so he'll miss the Morecambe game, but he'll be ready for the Saturday game. So, yeah, I mean,
When we
that's one
go and
thing we have
watch,
got that strength.
and we are going to be there in Port Vale
We
that
are going to
night.
be there at Port Vale. I mean, we'd have thought Notts County would be difficult, but Port Vale at the moment are flying. They're at the top of the league. They're
Oh,
absolutely
though,
flying.
right. Notts County were like are a good team. They're in like they're a good team, and we were better than them. Like there is no doubt at all that the fact that we didn't get a point or three out of that is a disappointment, but where we are in this league with the games we've got in hand, we are definitely good enough to be a contender. And this is a far better team than we've had for a long time. And it's got, I don't think anybody's walking out that game going like we're in like some calamity. Not at all. It was like we are a good team,
Although
and we were unlucky.
we've got there are two issues that are obvious at the moment, and well, they're almost one issue really. That is our away form. We're always complaining about our home form, but at the moment home form is cool. Our away form is has been a bit dodgy, and it does feel like we've got a problem putting the ball in the back of the net. Which is certainly away from home, we've got a real problem there. And my understanding is, and I've got to say, listener, right? When we lose,
Listeners,
I ain't watching the
listeners.
highlights, so I don't know how bad the misses were or anything
It
like
was
that. We
bad,
lose, I ain't
man.
watching them.
It
I'm not.
was
I'm
so
not doing that
bad.
sort of like masochistic thing. So I've got no idea. My understanding is that there it wasn't just. I mean, Kelly missed
That was the
The
worst.
wor It was the worst miss, but then there were other misses earlier in the game. I understand. Bugle missed.
Well, I think they gave back. I think, I don't know, I wasn't there obviously, but I have watched the highlights.
Oh,
But
why?
I do think some of the shots at Bass is a good goalie, right? And some of the shots look like they were really great practice shots for him to save. Like it's like you have got to do something slightly better
I mean,
against
on
that kind of
saying that
goalie.
though, Bass was their man of the match,
Which says
right?
everything, doesn't it?
So
But they
he
didn't look
was
like they
there.
were uncomfortable saves. Like he made some great saves, but then when you go into that game, the kind of keeper that he is, because we know him. And can I say this one thing? So when it comes to the strikers, so we got the four strikers, which I think we're all grateful for because that is the one thing we've been searching for since the Halcyon days. I can't even remember what season it was, but we went up, and we had Elliot, Taylor, Aziz, and Akinfenwa. Those that we've been trying to repeat that, and I think we're almost there. But he's obviously hit on it, and it's mainly been Bugle and Stevens. And I think it would be hard to argue against that. Although he has also put Bugle up with Pigs. Now, I don't know. We're not. Adam will kill me for this. But is there an argument? Is there an argument for going for resting Omar and starting with Pigs and Stevens?
No.
There you are. It's been shot down in flames.
I don't see them as starters. I think Omar is a better player. I don't know. I mean, Stevens, I like. I don't like Pigot, but
You've forgotten, Matt, that Adam has never liked Pigot.
No, Adam's never liked Pigs. But I mean, and
I think
obviously
there is
I've got the
an
figures to hand.
argument There is an argument for Pickett and Stevens. I think so, because I think,
How many
I mean,
goals has
like
Omar scored this
Stevens
season?
is like a vicious, nasty piece of work, right? But you know, Wimbledon fans like that. So, you know, and Pickett can win the ball in the air and he can also hold it up, which is actually, you know, there if there's a way you want to play the game, it's what your opposition is like, and that's what we've got now. We've got the different kind of options that bring it into that. Piggs has got a certain skill. Also, I think Piggs's ability, like, had that ball, had that chance fallen to Piggs, we would have equalized. Right, no doubt. Because Piggs is a player that can pick a spot. He will finish if he's in that place. If he's got time, he'll finish.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Whereas Josh Kelly's the sort of person that you kind of want the fast ball over the top. He's got to chase and do a bit of work and then he'll score, rather than give him 15 years of time and cup of tea and a nice little cream cake and stuff like that, and a little picnic. It's not really where he's at.
I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if that's a, if it's a thing. Every now and again, you switch up. But there's also, you know, people are there are people out there, and I think there is a genuine love for Kelly. There are people out there saying that he should start against Morecambe, you know, which I think in a weird way is maybe showing a bit of disrespect for Morecambe. I mean, what worries me about the Morecambe game is again that sort of feeling like, you know, this should be a walk in the park. But you know, I'm really hoping, and I'm hoping that firstly, I'm hoping they're really angry about the Notts County result, and I'm hoping that JJ's got their head. Their head sorted because one of the things against the against Carlisle was how disciplined we were. I mean, incredibly disciplined, staying in positions, not overcommitting, but then you know, really running it when we have to. What might be interesting tomorrow is if we are given the ball more, that would be an interesting thing.
Definitely the case. I thought, you know, the advantage we've got against teams that are supposedly good is that they're kind of wanting to come onto us and attack us, and we're actually, you know, with Tilly and with Nerfield and that forward line, we've got the ability to break the play up and move very quickly. You know, like if they're going to stroke the ball around, I can, you know, read some ball. Can break that moves down, get it out to the wides, and we will just attack, and we are dangerous. And that's where it is. Whereas if the team just sits back loads, are we capable of breaking a team down? That's different, isn't it? But on saying that, stuff Carlisle 4-0.
I didn't realize the BBC Sport app gives a head-to-head before the game because I only really ever look at it during or after the game. So there's some really interesting stats. Again, it looks like we should do well. Interest, yeah.
Oh, I can't believe why you said that, Adam.
I know, I
What is
know. I
wrong with
just
you?
I didn't realize they did it, and now I'm like,
Well, I
how?
mean, listen, let's not, you know, go around banging on about the BBC. They'll probably produce.
Niall's already confirmed that we're the best podcast ever, so BBC Sounds has nothing on us.
Oh my God. Any, and moving on. So obviously, the other thing that came out last week, in actual fact, it came out whilst we were recording with Angus Fox. Thank you very much, Angus, by the way. It was a great interview.
Yeah, brilliant.
We will be chatting to other people as well. But you know, we'd like to have a little bit of a time off where the three of us get together. So the other thing that came out as we were talking to Angus was the FA Cup draw. And I swear, you know, people talk about heated balls. I mean,
No, who talks about heated balls, for goodness sake?
Oh, it's a thing. It's Adam, it's a thing. If you watch that back in slow motion, you'll notice. Anyhow, because they're blowing their fingers afterwards. It's just a game that I just what I think people don't understand is that whereas, you know, like Arsenal might draw Tottenham or Celtic might draw Rangers or, you know, Newcastle, Sunderland, whatever, Bristol Rovers, Bristol City. There's sort of like, you know, there's a rivalry. It's kind of like I want that game in up to a weird to a degree. I think for most of us and certainly people of an age, just have really do not want this game at all, and certainly don't want it at their place. And listen, my whole thought with it genuinely is, I'm not. We wouldn't call for a boycott, but it's like go if you want to go. If you don't want to go, don't go. I don't think anyone should be forced to do anything on this particular match. But my sense would be that if it was, like away at Birmingham, for instance, or Wrexham, we would all be going. And it would be an amazing day out. So it just feels like it almost feels like a weekend to get through. Do you know what I mean? And I'm interested in the other games, and in a weird way, I'm quite pleased that we're not on the TV. And I don't think we deserve to be. It's two league, two teams playing against each other, whereas there's a lot of potential upsets there, which I think could, make for more interesting cup games. So it's.
I'm glad we're not on TV, because yeah, I know it's a game that all being well, they will no longer be in the FA Cup after that game. That's all that matters. But I'm not going, obviously.
I
I'm
find it
not
really
going.
difficult about the TV thing, right? Because I'm also a bit of a mercenary in the sense of like extra cash for us. And that was the when I saw the draw that, I was in Belgium at the time, like at a football conferencing thing with some other CEOs of football league clubs. And they were all going, apart from the fact they were going like, this is, they all knew how much of a shitty draw it was for us, right? And how much we hated it. But they were also going, well, at least you can get some TV money out of it. And that was kind of coming out of this guy, like, that's the only consolation I could think of, this draw. And if you haven't even got that, then it's like, well, I'm with Matt. It's like, this is rigged, right? And it's just like, should never happen. That's my view on it. It was absolutely awful. What was interesting is that they did both ask, what could you ever do to be able to accept their existence and, like, get over it? And it was like, yeah, I mean, they kind of get it. And these are two, well, I mean, they were forced representatives of League One clubs, one of League Two that were in the room, as well as there were actually a couple of Championship clubs there as well. And like, it was, kind of universal, kind of like the League One clubs were like really feel sorry for us, kind of like, how this is just shit. But I can't name them because they'll all get into trouble for everything they told me.
But I think it's weird because I think a lot of people think if they drop the Dons that would do it, but for me they genuinely would need to start at the bottom.
That's what I said to them. That is exactly what I said. I said, like, look, what do you think they could do? And I think, well, firstly, drop the Dons. And I'm going, oh, yeah, they might possibly do that. So, and then I said, right, well, and then start all over again at the bottom of the pyramid, just like they should do. And that's basically where I am. And they were kind of going, yeah, I'm not sure if they'll do that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to give this too much airtime, I don't think, but it's too late. In fact, whatever they do now, it's too late. There was options at various points quite a while ago where I would have maybe said, okay, you make these changes, I'll feel less grievance, but they never did, and they're not going with the new owners, so whatever.
Yeah, no, they don't currently seem to be playing in Swahili, in
Yes,
Swaziland.
they're still playing in the English league. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think if they played in, the Faroe Islands National League,
No,
maybe.
I'd still feel sorry for them.
Yeah, I guess what I will say is, like, yeah, it's one of those games where you decide what you want to do, and I know that none of us will ever go there, but I know some people will be happy to go and support the team wherever they go, and that
I
includes
get you.
visiting there. And so for those who potentially listen to the podcast and do go, fair play, that's entirely up to you. We would never say
Yeah,
don't go because that's what
completely.
you want to do.
Yeah, and get behind the team, obviously. I mean, yeah, you're right. We've given enough breathing space there, and unfortunately, we'll probably talk about it next week as well.
Just to add to that, mate, on that point, some of the other CEOs did also point out, like, if you're going, right, apparently the seats are really hard to break, so try and don't do that. That's really difficult. And it did point out that last time we realized that we did get fined because we decided to break the toilet. So if you do go, don't break anything.
Yeah, for God's
Don't
sake,
do
yeah.
anything.
But I think we have to be an
Don't buy
example. If we're
anything.
going,
Don't buy anything. Don't break anything.
if we're going up there, we've got to be an exemplar of what a brilliant away, what you've missed out on, basically. We go there, we sing our hearts out, give them some stick, whatever it is. Don't buy anything, don't give them any money, and don't break anything. and just give them all the support you have, and then come back safely. I think is the advice that we'd be given.
I think that, yeah, that's a massive part of it, actually, for both games, is if you just decide to go, be an exemplar for Wimbledon, because okay, some nut jobs might try and get tickets and whatever, but yeah, and don't buy anything, don't break anything, do everything the police say, stay safe, stay sensible, and ignore any of the goading. I mean, that's also one of the reasons I would never go to either, because I wouldn't want to be in that
And
scenario.
despite what nonsense I saw on social media, remember, we're the better team. We're the better club. Anyhow, you're right. Let's move on. And talking about how better we are, it's because we are a fan-owned club, and it's coming up to election time. So let me just read you this paragraph. It was from the Don's Trust website. This year there are seven vacancies to fill. Four for current board members reaching the end of their elected term. One to replace the casual vacancy that was appointed following a board member resigning, Michelle Little, who has moved to a role within the club. And two to fill vacancies which result from a shortfall of candidates from last year's election. So seven. There are seven places. Now, we heard from Angus Fox last week. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it as well, because I think it gives a good, it gives a good reason for standing, basically. You are giving a lot to your club. I mean, you are making decisions for your club. Who else gets that? It's like, it's almost like playing football manager, although maybe it could be called football director. Anyhow, it's like playing football director. But you get to do it. You get to make those decisions. I still think that there are things, safeguarding things that needs to be tightened up. Obviously, speaking to Niall, it's and other members of the, former members of the DTB who've been on the pod as well. We need to make sure that there are safeguarding in place to support our, elected members. But regardless of that, it is a good opportunity. I mean, not for me personally, but the nominations are open until the 30th of October, and I'm aware of two people who are standing. One of them, I think we can say, and one of them I won't. But because Adam, you're going for it.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why I am necessarily, but I think I would like there to be a contested election. I think we should put our hats in the ring. I've got a particular position that I'm going to take around enshrining fan ownership, making that something that we kind of take off the table. I don't think the restricted actions go far enough, actually. So my plan is to think about how we extend what it means to be fan owned outside of the club. And that we take advantage of things like fair game and other things to sort of say, actually, if we want to change the way that football is run, we need to remove this forever, because a football club is more than just a business. And so I want to kind of put that together. I'm concerned about how I can do that, because I live in Southampton, have a busy family, and
West
yeah,
Country.
exactly. And a busy family and busy work-life balance. And I think, it was touched a little bit on the fact that, this volunteer role does appeal to people who have space to be able to engage. So that I have that concern, but I think I'm going to be as brutally honest and open about it as possible, and sort of put one major flag and just say, I want to try and work out how we take any ability to remove fan ownership off the table, not only for us, but to encourage all other clubs to see that as the mode of operating. Because I think what Angus talked about a little bit last week, and this isn't a pitch, it's just me thinking out loud, is that when the directors came for the other club game, whichever one it was, I can't remember now, they were a bit in awe of what we had, in terms of the stadium, in terms of the in terms of the atmosphere, and that all comes out of this fan ownership model. So I just think we need to get that off the table, and I would like to sort of pitch to say I'd be there for the voice to say we shouldn't have super restricted actions. I think we should actually go further than that and say this is what we stand for, and this is how we move football to a place, and that probably is going to be working with external organisations mainly, I think. So that's my That's what I'm going to try and write a manifesto on. I mean, the but the
You're writing the manifesto as we speak.
yeah.
I've got no,
I
I
mean,
want
the
to.
other thing, just to say that, sorry, because not, and then is that the only other thing that I'm going to put in my manifesto is that I won't stop doing the same old Wombles podcast. And if that becomes an issue, then I would, even if I was voted on, I would step down or I'd figure something out, because I think this is a great communication method, and I think that I could be confidential enough, because I've run podcasts inside my university, etc., where we've had open conversations without it breaking sort of those kind of confidential things. It might mean more editing for me, sure, if I accidentally say something that I think, oh, we'll take that out. But that also is something that I'm going to make clear, because I don't want to not be on this podcast.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? I mean, like, you get all the perks, you know, you get the fame, the recognition. No, I can't move. He couldn't move at Notts County because of people just like coming up to him.
Well,
It's
I was
just.
flopped, because they, as soon as they knew I was Matt's brother, that was it.
Has never happened. God, the amount of time I'm Niall's brother, I might as well get it on a t-shirt. Niall, I want to talk to you because we've spoken a load about the bad stuff. All right. And I still think, and obviously when Anne Marie was on, she was talking about, you know, how you can be protected online and stuff. I don't want to talk about that this time because we're coming up to elections, and I think people are aware of this. What are the good things? Why would you, if you put all the stuff to a back, because I think you've even thought about it again, possibly standing. I know you wouldn't do now, but what was the good things? Why did you stand in the first place? And what were the things about it that you enjoyed?
I think, I stood because I was quite, there's quite a lot of strong principles that I've got that, and that I feel really important about what IFS Women stands for, a lot of which Adam just mentioned. Probably the bit that I enjoyed was that throughout my time, there were some really good people at IFS Women that were trying to do the best on the Don's Trust. Some really good, people that I think I had have a lot of respect for, and I hope that. That respect is mutual, and you kind of realize there are a lot of people within the ground that really are determined. There were people that I kind of was vaguely aware of, but didn't really know. Actually, it was great to serve with Charlie on the board. I thought Zav was great. Graham Stacey was on the board at the same time as me. Luke McKenzie, these were all really good people. And obviously, Anne Marie, I had some great, there were some great people on there that I thought were, Jane Lonsdale, lot. Well, there were a lot of really good people that were doing the right sort of thing on there and really dedicated. And I think that's a bit of an eye opener. And also, we did have the opportunity to do lots of bits and bobs, and try and take the club in a more positive direction. I look back on that board, probably that first year that I was back on, and think that we achieved an awful lot. That came to fruition a year or two later, because we put a lot of groundwork in. The problem we had is that the club was doing shit on the pitch. So that's whatever you do as a board member, you have very little control about how it happens thing. Although I can go back and say there was quite a we did have a bit of a say about sacking the manager in that first season, and there was a divide about how much time we give people, and I was probably more pro a quicker exit than other people, but it was really close actually. The vote was often 4-5, so it was really marginal. But you have those kind of debates and those conversations. It's good to know things. I think when the board is collegiate and determined and has strong remits, it can be a really enjoyable experience, and you feel like you're with people that are really trying to take the club on and be forward. That ethos was the thing I probably enjoyed the most. That bit of kind of going, right, well, actually, we're all trying to do as much as we can to make the club as strong as we can.
I think there's got to be something, Knight. There's got to be something because I think, for me personally, that knowing those little bits, knowing the little bits of no one else. I mean, like knowing that, having the little bit of the insider knowledge, I think is quite fun, isn't it? Isn't that quite fun? I would say for me, I think that's quite fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the way I sit at the ground, and it happens now because we still sit in these some board members as it is. The bit where you go like, all right, and I have to go, right, I can't comment on that,
Yeah.
can't comment on this. And honestly, the amount of times I got asked questions by some of this motley crew, And it would be like, I can't say anything. And that would be, that would be the case. There'd be a lot of that where you are kind of a little bit restricted, and which kind of makes you actually as a board quite close, because the only people you can share that information with is the board. And I think that's actually really important, because there is a load of stuff that you have to really respect that. You have to really kind of have that kind of collective understanding about what that you can't disclose.
Do you have to sign an NDA?
But, I can't remember whether we did. I think there was a you go through a volunteer's charter. There's a volunteer's charter at the start, which is like about your kind of conduct that you have to do, and that. And there's an induction process, which I think is also really important. So that's just an important thing that you would do. You'd expect it to do. When you have CEOs have all filed slightly different reports. When you went, and we had one CEO that would, his report would be like down to how long are these players out for? What are our transfer targets? It'll all be in there. And it'll be like, oh, this is a fantastic bit of goss.
Beautiful. I love that information.
Right. But again, the only people allowed to have it are your fellow board members. So that's it.
But
If
now,
you wanted to
but
kind of, that's now going to intrigue everybody else. You want to know all the gossip, but you're not allowed to tell anyone. That's the
I,
only issue. Then you do get a lot of that, and you do kind of know what's going on. You know what kind of sponsorship levels are. I could tell you how much the sponsorship was for various different bits of the stadium, all that sort of stuff, what we were bidding for, that sort of stuff. And we were able to hold the CEO to account and say, right, well, actually, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And so on. And then not
And
tell anyone about it.
obviously, I think there are several things now. So when anything like, what people are doing is sounding stuff out, finding out what deals are, and then obviously that sort of stuff is sensitive. It's commercially sensitive. So you can't be sharing that with the fan base. That is, they completely understand that. But when it gets down to a situation of like, there are certain situations where you have to go to the DTB to get it ratified, the wider membership to get it ratified on bigger things. But I think we all understand that there are things which are commercially sensitive that you don't share, which
I mean,
makes
I
complete
think
sense from
where
that.
it comes down to is, I think on the board, and I think the board is moving. Has moved a bit more to in this direction, which is that it's about setting the strategy and the direction of what the club is. So when Adam talks about the ethos of the club needs to be enshrinement and about making sure that we remain fan-owned forevermore, that is a really good ethos and vision and value for the club to have that should be across the board. So whoever the hired executive are, they know that's the boundary. They know that's the selling point. That's the bit you go marketing for. That's the bit that makes us unique and all the rest of it. But that's where your kind of markets, and that vision and that strategy is the stuff that should be set by the board.
I guess nowadays there does seem to be, and this is what worries me slightly, and it'd be interesting to know, Adam, when you go through that process, the relationship between the DTB and the PLC, because it feels like decisions around, sacking a manager or knowing about players, who targets are, all that sort of stuff. It feels like that information would now no longer be shared with the DTB members. It would be shared with the PLC members, of which the DTB have got a couple of members on the PLC. Good grief. I feel like I'm just talking acronyms. Sorry, listener. I hope you're following it. Just basically, it feels like a lot of the, so this is what, this is my thought is going to be that if there's something going wrong on the pitch, all right, that is not down to the Dons Trust board members, it's not down to the elected officials that you put that cross down to, because they've got no power over, they can influence, but they haven't got power over who is signing or formations or the sacking of managers. They can ratify certain things, but I think that it feels like the football decisions are going to be made by, A, they're made by Craig Cope, who's amazing, the best signing we've made, and JJ obviously on the pitch with managing it, fantastic at the moment, doing brilliantly. I think we've always supported him. Yeah, listen to previous podcasts. But
With JJ, sort it out,
sort it out,
Jackson.
Jackson. But so if
No,
so,
but I
there.
think that's a good thing. That's a good
No,
thing. I
it is
think
a good thing.
that's
It is a good thing. But what I'm trying to say to people out there, if it gets dodgy, if the team aren't doing well, it's not because of Don's Trust board elected members. it's going to be different. It's going to be footballing decisions, okay? Which the DTB are giving a sort of like a business direction. They're working with communities to try and bring them on board. They're looking at working on particular deals. They're using the expertise, because this is the one thing we bring in, the people with that expertise to, look at, to deal with particular issues. That's what we're dealing with, which are non-footballing. It's the sort of like the other side of it, community engagement.
I think it's the bit that makes us more secure long term. I think the one bit, though, that is a bit fudgy is a manager, because I'm trying to remember correctly, but I think what we were doing was we were providing a recommendation to the PLC about the future of a manager. And the problem is we controlled the PLC. So, in effect, we decided whether we sacked or we not hire, because the hiring of a manager is with the PLC, but the sacking of a manager, our advice would be sack this manager.
But I think then that has to be ratified. That goes through the PLC. I mean,
Yeah, it does go through the PLC. But the thing with that is that at that time, the DTB had a kind of super majority on the PLC. So if we said sack them, then in theory, what we were then doing is we were then saying, right, we're instructing the members of the DTB who are on the PLC as DTB reps that you have to vote this way.
And I don't think that's the case at the moment. I don't know if
I'm not sure
I'm not
exactly where.
sure. I'm not sure. Gosh, we really need to educate ourselves here, chaps. But I'm not sure the number of DTB members on the PL, how many people are on the PLC to start with, and then
But that, I
how
think
many of them
that's
are
an
DTB
interesting,
members?
I think that's a generally interesting conversation, actually, in terms of like bridging, making a bigger gap between those kind of things. I think, I don't know, because I don't, and let's see what happens. But in terms of like, we obviously should be have members of the Don's Trust board on the PLC to hear things that are going on and to ensure that the position and the kind of ethos of the club through the PLC's decisions, it doesn't impact that positioning, right? So that might come down to not necessarily the sacking, but it might come down to a particular individual that the PLC is thinking of hiring, if it looks like, to the outside world, that their position doesn't fit within the ethos of fan ownership, etc., all that kind of stuff. So I would like to see a continued, gap widening of those kind of things. So the PLC is only being informed by the members of the John's Trust board in that instance. That does that mean they need a bigger PLC? I don't know. But just on the fact that it's about ethos stuff and not about football stuff, because then it separates, at least in my mind, those differences between the business angle of the football and the community part of the football. And if the John's Trust board can ensure that our community, our outreach, our positioning, our moral standards, whatever you want to call it, is not affected by decisions that the PLC make, then it doesn't matter in that sense how the football's run.
PLC should be the business side, business, the day-to-day operation, should be managing the day-to-day operations of the club, right? And DTB should be setting the strategic objectives that the club has to try and adhere to and the kind of strategic direction. That's how I see it. And I think we were moving more in that direction with the last few kind of votes that have happened at Don's Trust meetings, which is a good thing, because ultimately you want to have an executive that have got a relative sense of freedom, as long as they operate. What my view would be that you have an overarching vision of the club, and the overarching vision of the club is that we want to be the most successful fan-owned club on the planet, right? That would mean that in every single meeting that we have, every part of the department, the marketing department, the comms department, the playing budget, the playing side of it, the one vision they've got to try and achieve is, oh, is what we're doing now making us the most successful fan-owned club on the planet? That's the question. So in comms, that's the question. Marketing, that's the question. Even the playing side, that is the question. That's the thing where every part of the organization should be looking to. One clear vision, that's what everybody's doing. And that's where I think the role of the DTB should come into play. You just have that one vision.
I think you're
One
right.
bit,
I think the
yes, there
one
are
vision.
objectives underneath it, one vision, and that's it. We want to be the most successful fan-owned club on the planet.
And I was going to, the last thing I was going to say on that is that I think one thing we need to communicate is that that doesn't have to have a glass ceiling.
No, it has no glass ceiling. It has no glass ceiling because I'm saying, you know, you think about, right, well, that's instantly put us on the par with every Bundesliga club. So we want to be bigger than any Bundesliga club because they're the clubs who've got the 50 plus one. If we're talking about our 50 plus one scenario that we had the debate about the other week, then, or, you know, there are other big clubs and nations that are majoritarily got a lot of good fan-owned clubs. We
So
want to be bigger than, we want to be bigger than them.
we want to be the biggest and best fan-owned club on the planet.
Yes.
Aren't Barcelona a fan-owned club?
In theory, but then there's a whole
Technically.
issue about whether they really are or not. So there's quite a lot of debate about
Okay.
that, to be honest, though,
All
Matt.
right. Okay. Well, I mean, I like it. I think we should set high targets. I do know that there are three board members, three DTB members who sit on the PLC at the moment. Graham Price, James McDonald, and Angus Fox. Angus, by the way, is staying on as chair and at the DTB, just in case anyone doubts that. So it's anyhow. The point is, if we can sort out things about mental health of and safeguarding issues for the elected members, then I think it could be a really exciting opportunity for anyone. Standing for the board, you have a say in how your club is run. Imagine, that's amazing. Listen, let's move on from this because I think Adam, am I right in saying we've had a few communications? As like people contacted us on air. Have we? Yeah,
We've had some emails.
we've had some emails.
You
So this is exciting. This is exciting because this is the way that we like to work it, gang. You send us some stuff. If it's not offensive, which it might be, don't send it because we won't read it out. But you know, if you've got some genuine questions and queries, I mean, obviously Niall's been inundated by things at Notts. The podcast is obviously flying. So, you know, how many people have been in touch, Adam? What have we got? How many people are
I think
knocking
it's like
down the doors?
three maximum.
Three.
I definitely two on email, one on Twitter saying where are you?
Yeah, and we've answered that one. So
No, we haven't, Matt. You answered. Adam answered it and said, like Southampton. You haven't answered where you're from, and I haven't answered where I'm from.
I actually did get back to them. I did get back to them and say, I said Southeast. You know, we live in Southeast London, and we do at the moment. But it's very important to say that we were born in Wimbledon. So, you know, don't get, you know, and we've been supporting the side since '82. So.
Okay. Like, no, yes, also born in Wimbledon, supporting the side since 86. So just like, let's get
Okay, so
that.
you're new to it. That's fine, Adam. That's all right.
The
Wait a minute. Were we 82 or 81?
We started supporting 82.
82. 82.
We
So.
were our first kind of like we started supporting right at the start of 82. So we followed us when we got relegated to the fourth division.
That's right. We had to, on that last game of the season,
Went
I
to beat
think we were
Pompey
away at
13 nil.
Portsmouth. We'd, yeah,
Yeah,
we'd win
Pimpin.
30-0 and we won 3-2.
Yeah.
Do you want, I have the emails. Do you want me to read one
Yeah,
of them out? We won't
Adam,
say who they're from,
read out the
obviously.
emails. Let's see.
Okay, yeah, we won't say who they're from, but those who sent it in because they didn't tell me they could say that. Okay, so the one question was it says you could not opt out of DT membership by ticking a box. You had to email two different people, one of whom couldn't even bother to acknowledge the email despite a request. I believe only six of us did. You can vote for or against. Okay, then someone said you can vote for or against via proxy rather than giving the proxy to chair. 26% does not entitle you to block all. This isn't necessarily a question. 26% does not entitle you to block all resolutions, only special resolutions which cover such issues as removing directors. I doubt people will be interested in nuances of exactly what special resolutions entail, but it should be made clear that the resolutions are decided on by a simple majority. So I guess the point on that one was, I thought in one of the episodes I said that I thought you could tick a box to opt out of DT membership as part of the season ticket, and this email is advising that that was incorrect, that you had to email two different people, and that one of them unfortunately didn't get back to them. So there was a bit of an option issue there. I don't know if we have the answer to that, do we,
No, we
Matt?
don't. No, we don't have an answer. But I think
But that's
we all.
mad because we're not the official podcast.
No, but I think from
We
our
are
point of view,
aren't we, Matt? Are we now the number one fastest growing AFC Wimbledon podcast?
because we've gone from one to four.
Yeah, so we're the
But I think,
fastest growing.
yeah. So I think the we're still stuck at 15 people following us on Threads. That's all there is. And I still can't say Threads without thinking about that 1980s horror thing, which is just on BBC iPlayer, by the way. Don't, I mean, people are saying watching it, it's horrendous. Anyhow, the point is, I think we all said that really, with that being a member, I think that there should have been an opt-out thing. And my personal opinion is that, it feels like you should get money back. It feels like we kind of co-opted people into it who they might have wanted to have been. That's my personal opinion. I think other people can probably sit down with other people and they've got another opinion. But certainly, at least having a tick box that you don't want to be a DTB member seems like a good idea to me. If it isn't there, then hopefully the people who get elected onto the DTB next time, they will be hearing this, Adam, and taking that message forwards. And what's the other thing about 26%?
I think we've well. I think the middle bit was about being able to vote for or against the proxy. So I think we've cleared that up. I think we've established that you can tell the proxy to vote against, so that you're not just giving over your vote. So I think that is now clear, and I think we've talked about that already. The other one was, which Niall maybe can talk about, is 26% does not entitle you to block all resolutions, only special resolutions, which cover such issues as removing directors.
Well, that actually would, well, that means that there's a simple majority on the other ones. But then what is the difference between a special resolution and a typical resolution? Obviously, the special resolutions are actually the ones that are more significant for us. So they're actually going to be the major issues. The simple majority ones, by the fact that simple majority shouldn't be anything massively controversial. The fact that we're saying the special resolutions can be blocked by 26%, 25% remains a concern, because it's like you can just go, oh, block, 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 block. Oh, you finally put something in front of me that I agree with and I won't block.
So Noel, does the rule that we're trying to put into place in terms of the 15% thing counter that or not?
It
No,
only it doesn't,
counts
because
it to a
it's you could.
degree, but people can obviously form a block,
Yeah,
so
so
people
like
can
if
come
yeah.
together.
If you had a block of people that represented 26%, then they can block everything. So no, it doesn't. And this goes back to, that whole it's a whole lack of security that I've got an issue with. So I will remain not in favour of going below 75%, on my own personal level. However much those other arguments have gone, and I know that Fair Game is trying to put a lot of the safeguards in place that would also the people who advocate for the 75 to 50% model, they may well actually come into place anyway through regulation. But I go back to what makes us unique, what makes us special is the fact that we are fan-owned, and that's the bit that I think only really comes into play. And when you talk about the way business law operates in this country, when you go above 75%, but that's my view, and that's what I'm will remain fixed and fixed on.
But that's it. So basically, and I think this is the thing that we're all worried about, is that basically people coming together with 75% can potentially block a special resolution, and that special resolution could be something like getting rid of a director or
You're
other
selling
things that we might do
could be
about
like
financially.
selling the ground
But
to
saying,
be. You know,
yeah,
it could be changing the name of the club or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it could, yeah, and it could, or it could be, where we get our money from, for example. So,
Yeah, are you willing to set, where we're going to get foreign investment from? We will, you know, we, or like, say, if we said we don't want to accept foreign investment from Saudi Arabia, that could be a special resolution. And, right, our 25% block. Keep on saying no to that until we finally cave and go, okay, we will. That sort of thing.
So it's that sort of thing. It's a, and I think, and I know that Like we've talked about this idea of us having PTSD, and I know we're slightly paranoid about the situation, but there are concerns that people need to think about. It's not about the money thing. We understand about if you can get to 50 plus one, you can get the money in, but it is about, that people that come and be able to be in a situation where they can block certain things that we want to do because that they might not agree with it. I think that is something to that's
Yeah.
something for us to think about.
So here's the last big question for Niall. It's always for Niall. But the first bit I would say is, hey, great show. So this person clearly
Thank you very
enjoys the
much,
show.
listener.
So thank you. It says, please, can you discuss the crazy spending of Birmingham, who are in
Of us. They're in League One, right? And they basically are blowing all their money on all the rest of it. And I'm fully aware of that.
Let me read the rest of it, and then you tell, because this is the question, because it just says, League, they have spent over 25 to 30 million pounds on players this transfer window. How can Fair Game stop this? What do you think it means for League Two clubs? Because we all know once one does it, there is a snowball effect.
This is a massive issue that needs to be addressed by the regulators. So it's something we're looking at and have been advocating for, and hopefully we'll get some amendments and changes coming forward on that. That is the big issue connected with it is about wages to revenue, which is hopefully going to be part of the regulators' remit on your licensing. So you'll have what is called the squad cost mechanism protocol, which exists at the moment, but actually having that properly enforced, which would stop clubs spending more than they earn above a certain level. Now, the difficulty you've got is that Birmingham City went down, and the rules in the Championship are different to the rules in League One and League Two. So, League One and League Two supposedly operate on a squad cost mechanism, which means you're supposed to spend a certain amount on, whatever. Doesn't not really necessarily enforced. Now, you have an exemption when you come down a league at the moment, so you apply by the rules that were in previous. So the rules previously with Birmingham City, where they were operating under the FPP rules, I'm so lost everybody here now, which
Doing
exists in the
well.
Championship, and that is basically about the amount of debt you're allowed to carry over each year. And obviously Birmingham City could just rack up loads of debt because they're operating on the League One on Championship rules. If they don't get promoted, then they get into trouble because they'll suddenly be on SCMP rules, which will be how much they're paying their wages, which will be above their revenue. So
SCMP is, what does SMP stand for?
squad cost mechanism protocol, Matt.
Ah, yes, of course, the squad cost mechanism protocol. Yes.
Right, so that's what operates in League One and League Two. So we're supposed to be spending a certain amount of our revenue on squad costs, not necessarily apply, but that's the theory. Birmingham City would fall foul to that if they don't get promoted.
So basically, they need to go up. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's their thing.
So this
Awesome.
is actually a very similar rule, which is why Leicester City avoided their points deduction, because they changed divisions when they would have got a massive fine, but they were in a different division, so they avoided the fine.
There you are. This is fun. This is fun. This is like Q&A thing, is quite fun. Adam, have you got any? Is there another one?
No, that is all the questions, but I do like the fact that that in between now, well, our podcast at various points have turned into an ASMR podcast where you whisper stuff into the corner.
It's because Adam, I've got no idea what's going on. That's the reason. But
If
anyhow.
anybody wants to ask me any ridiculous other technical questions that will get my brother completely and utterly
It
befuddled,
not it
that's
doesn't take
great.
much. Genuinely, it doesn't take much, really. If anyone could say to me, name all the members of the squad, that would have me flummoxed.
I have Amelia
I could do
asking
the
me about.
1988 team though. I could do the 1988 side 11. Anyhow,
No, I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we finished. Like, we have people, if you want to contact us via X or email, you can. We do try and check if there's anything that's coming in, and we will We will answer to it. Yeah.
We will check. We'll promise to check better this time.
And if people want
Get
to
those
question
questions from like
me and
2 years
my
ago.
brother, if people may want to question me and my brother about the 1983 Fortitude Championship team, starting team, we're good on that. Just don't ask us about who played last week. That's all we're saying.
That's exactly it. And anyhow, chaps, thank you very much. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Montfair Niall. I've been Matt Cooper. We are the same old Wombles. We're back.